Thank you, Roger. Don't worry, brethren, laptop's retired. Well, in Exodus 33, Moses had set up a temporary tabernacle, and he was in there, and he had a conversation with God. And in verse 1, he says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here, you and the people from whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it to you.'" Verse 2, "And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." And in verse 4, this is where I want to focus here. Verse 4, "And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments." Actually, that's not the one that I wanted to focus on. It was dropping down to verse 16. Is it 16? Hold on a second. Shoot. I was supposed to start in 7, actually. That's okay. We'll drop down to 16. 16 is where I wanted to be. It says, "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So God says we are to be separate from all the peoples of the earth. So, this was at the beginning when they first came out of Egypt. Let's turn back to Revelation and look at chapter 18. Revelation 18, we're talking about the fall of Babylon. In verse 1, it says, "After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for an unclean, hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues.'" So, here in Revelation, at the end of the age, God is warning his people again to come out of the ways of the world and the sin of it. God was tired of the sin. It So things haven't really changed very much. In fact, it appears that it's actually gotten worse. But God's been patient with us. But here's a strong warning to us to come out of the world unless we share in her sins and share in her plagues. So I think God makes it pretty clear here in his word that we are not to be partakers of this world. That's the focus of the message here today. Have you and I really come out of this world? Are we in the process of doing so? And if so, to what degree? I think it's safe to say that we are all in different stages of our spiritual growth. And that's how it needs to be. God is working with all of us in different ways. We have different lessons to learn. But the point is, are we really focusing on coming out of this world? Or are we hanging on to some of it? I hope not. But I can see where I have been hanging on to some of it myself, not willingly. Actually, I think probably it is willingly. I think we don't want to admit it at times, but we do kind of hang on to some things. We don't want to let go of them. But in a subconscious way, consciously I feel I'm trying to come out, but I'm beginning to see that in some areas I might not be doing as well as God would like me to. And that's my point today. I'd like to challenge each one of you, as I have myself, to take a good look at ourselves and see if there's any aspects in our lives that we might need to come out of the world. We can't fully have a close relationship with God and Jesus Christ if we don't continue to make strides to come out of this world. Remember what Paul said in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2, says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to see the world for what it really is. And what it really is its enmity toward God. We can read that again in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 7 says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." So if we're hanging on to that, our carnality and thinking in carnal ways, we can't be pleasing to God, because it just said here that that's enmity toward God if we're in the world. Actually, if we read in verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So that's what we need to be, spiritually minded. So that if we're carnally minded, it leads to death. If we're spiritually minded, it leads to life. We are striving for eternal life, not death. One way to be able to come out of the world and to not get caught is to not get caught up in its system, not buying into the things that it values. Because I think we all know that the world's values are not lined up with God's values. And we need to pay attention to that. I personally find no redeeming value in this personal world. And it's getting less and less that way as time goes on. But we all have to come to our own thinking on that. It doesn't mean, however, that we are to be negative people. You know, on the contrary, we have the hope of God's kingdom. of being part of that kingdom. And we should be hopeful in that. Let's turn to Romans again. Actually, Romans 8 still. Let's look at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So, we have that hope, if we're spiritually minded, of God's kingdom and how it's going to be, how he's going to set up his kingdom on this earth, and things are going to be much better. So that should motivate us to continue to endure, but to be separate, focusing on the spiritual things. One way to achieve that goal is to cultivate strong relationships with each other, with the household of God. We're all in this together. We're all striving for the kingdom. We should be strengthening one another, getting to know one another better, building stronger relationships with each other. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says, see what Paul's got to say on the subject. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So there it is. That's who we are, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. Talking about Christ coming and reconciling himself to man. So let's look at 2 Corinthians now. In 1 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? So it's making a clear distinction there between believers and unbelievers. We should not be equally yoked with unbelievers, but we should be equally yoked with each other, not the world. Once again, I'm not saying here that we are to have nothing to do with the world. We have to live in it, of course. We have to deal with people in it, some more than others. I have to deal with a lot of people every day in my business dealings on a daily basis. I always strive to deal with them in a way that's pleasing to God. I'm not always successful, but that's my intent. We should always do good to those on the outside as we can, as we have opportunity. That's a way of being a light to this world. That's part of what we're supposed to be. And yet we do that without wanting to be part of the world. Remember what Paul said. Let's go back to Romans 8 again. Eight and verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And let's look in the book of James, because he gives a strong warning about this too. James 4. James 4, beginning in verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask because you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? It's pretty plain. He's talking here about us. Not directly, but indirectly. But it's a strong warning to us all. So as I said earlier, brother, my point today is purely to admonish all of us to look a little closer at ourselves, see if there are some things that we might be holding on to that are part of this world. And if they are, then we need to make the changes so we can continue to draw closer to God. Our actions, our attitudes might be hindering our relationships with God. So in closing, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6 again. This time we'll look at verse 17. It says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you.